You sisters know that my skin has been glowing lately, and I'm here to tell you my secret, Oak Essentials. You've heard us talk about their line of luxurious products before, and we're so excited to have them as a sponsor of OK Sister Podcast, because now you can join in on the glowy goodness.
You know Oak Essentials is legit because it was created by none other than our favorite brand ever, Jenny Kane. Oak Essentials is known for its simple approach to self-care with a lineup of foundational skincare staples made with high-quality ingredients that drive results. It aims to unlock healthy, glowing skin with decadent and hydrating ingredients that give you a luxe, dewy glow.
I won't shut up about the Moisture Rich Balm. It's a nutrient-rich balm that supports collagen production and delivers serious hydration for a luminous glow. And a luminous glow indeed. The way my skin feels like butter after applying this balm. This balm will make you never want to wear makeup again. And you can apply generously during your night routine to lock in moisture as you dream. It's the definition of beauty sleep.
Treat yourself or someone else this season. You sisters will get 15% off and a free organic honey-based restorative mask with their first order. Oh my God, what a deal. When you use code OKSIS15 at checkout. That's right. 15% off plus a gift with your first order at OAKESSENTIALS.com. Promo code OKSIS15, OKAYSIS15.
Go ahead and treat yourself. From luxurious skincare to meaningful self-care, you deserve it.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com.
Welcome to OK Sister. I'm Gabrielle Scout, Editor-in-Chief of Review.
And I'm Maddie Mayo, co-founder of Camber. And yes, we are sisters in real life.
Whether you are here for the sisterly banter, mindset shifts, or that familial feeling of coming home,
OK Sister Podcast is here to help you show up more for yourself.
Welcome.
We love you.
And let's go.
I love following people with cool, interesting jobs.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's part of the vibe. You get to see the stuff I'm doing, the stuff I'm shooting, the events I'm going to, what me and my friends are up to. I like having a more dynamic, personal Instagram, and people can see the person behind the camera.
Welcome to OK Sister Podcast. My name is Mads.
My name is Scout. How you doing over there, Madeline?
I'm doing good in my low-rise jeans, baby.
Okay, when I saw you in your low-rise jeans, I was so proud, not because you're wearing low-rise, but because they look so good on you.
Thank you.
That, you know what, it's 2024 energy. It's not the trends. It's what fits your body.
Absolutely.
Right?
People have been instilling fear into me about the fucking low-rise jeans. And look, I bought into it because I was like, sure, I'm not Paris Hilton. I can't wear low-rise jeans. I don't have that type of body. But we're just not wearing the right size or like the right style. So I just saw these jeans. I'm working with this brand. It's called Just Black Denim. And there was like baggy jeans. I wanted light jeans. And and they said low-rise. And I was like, you know what? Let's see. And a little midriff is showing, stand.
You look amazing.
Thank you. The muffin tops are there a little bit, but you know what? It's not bad. There is a little bit of camel toe, but it's not bad.
No, the proportions for your body where it hits you works. I actually, funny you say that, tried on my low-rise skinny jeans.
Oh, well, no. That's where I take it too far.
No, because on the runway, this past fashion month, there were skinny jeans everywhere. And I personally never let go of skinny jeans. I never understood why that was a way, mostly because I remember, this is so specific, I remember being in middle school and I saw a photo of Hillary Duff wearing gray skinny jeans. And I specifically looked at this photo and I said, this is what's coming. This is what's next. And I called my mother.
You're a trendsetter.
Well, I didn't call mom because I was in middle school. I lived with her. And I said, I need these. And I remember we went out and we found gray skinny jeans. And I was the first in my grade to wear skinny jeans and wear gray skinny jeans specifically and recreate this outfit. And so it's so ingrained in me as like this very formative moment in my fashion history personally. But I was never of the camp that skinny jeans were gone. the point of me saying this is that I tried them on. They're a little tight postpartum. They're not like fully fitting great. But I could imagine if it was like half an inch bigger, right, sure, of the waist, I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I look really good.
The thing is, like, for me, I don't have, like, you have a cinched waist. I don't really have, I'm more of a rectangle. Yeah. So high-waisted doesn't, it just makes the stuff spill over rather than cinch.
Yes.
So
for me, it gives me definition.
Right. For me, it's like spillage.
Yeah.
So I'm learning.
Yeah. This, I'm
evolving and learning because you know me, I'm not a jeans girl. I don't like jeans. I don't like wearing pants. I wear pants, but I don't like to wear jeans or anything with a zipper. I'm like anti.
Yeah.
But something about these jeans, and when you find something that actually fits you and the style, it's really important.
That's how I feel about these pants.
Yeah, those pants are fantastic.
Also for me.
Like those would look awful on me.
Yes, yes. But also for me.
Confirming, yes.
Yeah. Also for me, I'm learning it's not even just about the proportions. It's also, and like the body type, it's also my height.
Like, right.
I'm 5'2".
Yeah,
and
we're tiny.
I'm starting to realize I'm very short. And like.
You're just starting to realize
that?
Yeah,
and like clothes were not really made for like really short people.
Yeah.
And so I notice such a difference in my confidence in the way clothes fit me when I put a kitten heel on just to like elongate a little bit.
Dude, so there are some things in this world, like beauty wise, that it just changes everything.
It just changes everything.
For me, it's mascara. I put on mascara.
For me, it's the highlighter underneath my eyebrow.
Oh, yeah. It is like the tiniest little shit and it.
Okay. I was but expecting a different word
but
there.
But it's the tiniest
shift
in your appearance.
Yes.
It's incredible.
But this is what, you know, specifics are. The next thing on my list is to get a good tailor because I feel like you could buy things and all you need is a little tailoring.
A little this, a little
and all of a sudden it looks incredible on you.
I know.
The kitten heel is that for me for sure.
Sisters, find something that just looks good on you. Don't listen to the trends.
Yeah, and take a little of extra time to like figure out the proportions and the this and the that because wow, does it make a difference?
And wear skinny jeans. Who the fuck cares?
I'm about to wear skinny jeans again. I'm about to go out in the wild.
Oh no.
Yeah, you heard it here.
You
first.
Know what? I.
It's on the runway. It's about to happen.
It's on the runway.
It is. I'm telling you, this fall we are going to see skinny jeans back.
Yeah, I mean, I also think True Religions are going to come back.
As like a.
As a joke.
As a joke.
I don't think so. I think it's going to come back.
I think Seven for Mankind is about to come back.
I don't think those were ever gone.
I just don't. I think they faded. And I think they're having a moment
again. This is my
again.
Prediction. And everyone can, we can clip this and I'm going to be right. And I should like bet on this. True Religion. And.
Ed Hardy.
Ed Hardy's already back. People are wearing Ed Hardy hats. And Skechers are going to have like a New Balance. Renaissance.
See,
they're gonna collab with like some trendy ass person and they're gonna make a shoe like the New Balance ones that went crazy and Skechers gonna be back.
It's fine. I mean we can bring things back, but at the end of the day it's a question of taste, okay? Sorry. Like
oh wait, but Skechers like
I'm not gonna be wearing an Ed Hardy shirt and True Religions because nostalgia came back.
I can see you with an Ed Hardy shirt. An Ed Hardy like wife beater. Also, what do we call that now?
I don't know.
Because how did we go so long calling it that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Tank top?
And
honestly,
it's
not a tank top.
It was canceled in a time when we didn't have the systems to rename and rebrand. And so no one renamed and rebranded.
So it's just question mark.
Just question mark what that
white,
means.
White, thick tank
white
top.
White tank top made of a certain material.
With the thickness. They have the
ribbed,
thick straps.
Is it ribbed? I don't know.
Anyways.
It's confusing.
Fashion. That was Fashion Corner by Scout and Mads. Welcome to Fashion Corner.
Wow, did we have an episode?
Oh my God, you guys are in for a treat.
Yes.
This was our first photographer.
Yes.
On the pod, which
yes.
was crazy.
Yes.
That we've never had someone in this field. And not only is she a photographer, she is the photographer.
Yes.
I mean, her name is Nezrin. Everyone needs to follow her, Black Prince. And there is something magnetic about her
yes.
because she has been able to weave in not only her artistry and what she does as a photographer, but her personal brand, who she is, all the people that she works with, she's friends with. She's like a networking and relationship expert. And that is something that is so key to any industry. So like, even if you're not a burgeoning photographer, like this conversation will illuminate so much of that in terms of like making your own business, establishing yourself in a career where you haven't seen yourself in that career before.
Pivoting in your career, staying really true to what you want and seeing something and knowing that that's what you want and going after it with such conviction, knowing your worth, setting boundaries. I was honestly just trying to get to like, how are you like this?
Yeah, I know. And, Scout kept being like, so like, what happened in your childhood that like you made you this way? Because she was just like, I'm just this
way. She's like, I'm this way. I'm like, you're so confident. You're so self-assured. You understand business so well. There's just this natural, it's almost like she didn't learn it. She just she like just has these innate talents. And it's incredibly impressive to see. And not only from that perspective, but from a creative perspective, her art and her photography is next.
Oh my God.
Next level.
I know. I tried to get her to be my wedding photographer, but
she said no.
She politely declined.
Because she has boundaries. Okay, sisters, please welcome Nazarin to the podcast.
Let's start.
Okay. Are we filming?
Now we're starting.
Okay.
I feel like we've already recorded.
We've already recorded the whole podcast.
Oh my God.
Welcome to the pod. Welcome to Okay Sister.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my God. We are giddy to have you.
I'm so excited.
So we discovered you because your art, your photographs are just so fucking amazing.
Truly. And not only
are your photographs amazing, you have this network and this community that you have taken photos of or brands that you've worked with. And like, I'm talking Emma Chamberlain, Nick Viall, Orion, past OK Sister guest, Ami Song, like just such an incredible roster of the people that you've worked with. And just, I mean, everyone needs to go check out your page because it's absolutely gorgeous.
That is so nice. Thank you.
Just facts is what it is. Yeah. But so usually we don't do this on OK Sister because like, I feel like it's so annoying on a podcast to be like, where did this all start? Yeah. And like, it's like so annoying. But the thing is, we really need to know understand what the fuck,
we're
how
meeting
do we
right
get
now,
here?
I feel like that's like a foundational
exactly.
part.
Exactly.
So I have to say something is that like, I'm really excited to do a traditional episode because I actually love those types, even
fun.
Though you just
said yeah, you're on How I Built This.
You're on How I Built This.
Love. Oh,
you're on
obsessed.
How I Built This.
Ready?
This is me practicing, guys.
So tell us, how did you first get into photography? Take us very, very
I mean, I guess I've done this like thing where I like tell people how I got my start so many times, and I feel like it's always the same story. But I started photography like in high school. I was lucky enough to go to a high school that had a dark room, so I took film photography classes. Then I was on my school's yearbook, and I feel like I learned all of those like technical aspects of like how to develop my own negatives and print my own film photos. And then I was on yearbook, so I learned all the digital stuff and all the Adobe programs and all of that. And so I feel like it was a very like hands-on like learning experience that kind of set me up to like go freelance and do whatever I wanted. Mm-hmm. So then when I was in college, I started freelancing just like on the side.
For brands or just like photographing
just for
people?
Okay. I was literally making no money. Yeah. I was just vibing. I just liked photography and it was something that like I wanted to do with my time. And I was kind of like, let's see how far this hobby can go. And by the time I graduated college, I was touring full time. Yeah, when I was in school, I would shoot shows every night. I would go to LA on the weekends, like when I could afford
where'd
it.
You grow up? Yeah, where did you grow up?
I'm from Oregon. So I went to school in Portland. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But I always tell people too, I think I kind of honestly had a leg up in the game because when you're in a smaller market like that, I was the only music photographer. So when artists were in Portland, they would hit me up. I could go to shows for free. I could bring as many people as I wanted because the guest list wasn't full in Portland. And it really allowed me to like build a really strong portfolio. And then when I started coming to LA to like try and pick up work and stuff, I had like a really decent thing to show people. Mm. And also I was like meeting artists before they were big, and I had all of these relationships with like managers and venue people, and like it really just set me up because I was a tour photographer for a long time. So as soon as I graduated college, I was touring full time, and I did that for years, basically up until the pandemic. I had started kind of doing some other stuff. I was doing like social photo for YouTube and Twitter and Facebook. So anytime they had events and stuff and they needed like front facing social assets, I was like shooting that. But
Wait, who did you go on tour with?
All sorts of people. Olivia O'Brien, I toured with for years. But I worked in rap and hip hop for a long time. I worked with like G-Eazy and Black Bear and ASAP Rocky and so cool. I don't know, any artist that would come through Portland, I was just like, can I please shoot your show? And they would kind of just say, yeah.
Oh, so. Question
about growing up, because I always wonder how, or maybe this is not the case, but I always wonder how some people who grow up, not necessarily within the city where the scene is, yeah. right? Like not surrounded by people who are taking this career route, right? You being kind of this only one and people are saying like, yeah. Do you feel like that, where did that come from? Like that specific interest to go after it? Was there any, did you at any point say to yourself, wow, no one else is doing this. I shouldn't yeah. do it. Or
I can actually like pinpoint exactly when it was. I didn't go to a lot of concerts growing up because I grew up in Corvallis, Oregon. So I was like 2 hours away from Portland. And, you know, my mom didn't want to drive me to concerts. She didn't want to drive me 2 hours away, sit in the car and then wait for it to be over. So I just didn't get to go to a lot of shows. And there was a free concert in my hometown in Corvallis at the university. And it was like Mike Posner or somebody or like Macklemore or like it was like a bunch of artists. But I just took my camera and I was taking pictures and I was like, wow, this is really fun. And a couple months later, I went to a concert with some friends up in Portland and it was actually a G-Eazy show. And I saw his photographer like running around taking pictures and I was like, I want to do what that guy is doing. Mm. Like, that sounds fun to me. Like, I can go to concerts for free and I can take pictures. Mm. And I was like, oh, that's a job. And so then I was like gunning for that. And I was like really excited about doing concert photography. And that's how I like established myself as a photographer.
Do you find that you can't fully enjoy the concert when you're taking photos?
Depends. Most times, yeah, you can still enjoy it. When I'm on tour, though, I felt like after about a week, it's not fun anymore.
I was going to say. Yeah.
It gets really repetitive. Yeah. And it gets harder and harder to take unique photos. And so I would really try and like switch it up every night, but also I would find myself like, not like uninspired, but I'm like, how do I do something different with this? It's the same every single day.
That's so.
But it's still fun. Like it was something I really loved doing and I'm glad I did it when I was young and, you know, like had so much fun touring because the pandemic kind of made my career do a 180 and I like pivoted to doing such different things. I haven't toured since. And I think that's fine because at my big age, I don't really want to do that anymore.
Yeah, totally. But.
Okay, sisters, let's talk about hair shedding. Does the craziness of everyday life leave you stressed and shedding? Since having kids, have you started seeing a little more of your scalp? Hi, I've been there. When it comes to thinning hair, there are many root causes at play, and Nutrafol addresses them through a multi-targeted whole body approach.
Ugh, thinning hair just isn't the vibe. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Amen.
Everyone's root causes of hair thinning are different, so a one-size-fits-all approach to hair growth just doesn't cut it. Nutrafol has multiple formulas that are tailored to give your hair what it needs to grow through different stages, such as postpartum, like me. After I gave birth, I noticed that around the crown of my head, my hair was shedding. I've been taking Nutrafol for almost 3 months at this point, and I am not kidding you. When my husband, my friends, my family have been commenting on how long, strong, and healthy my hair has been looking lately. I mean, sisters, if you've been watching OK Sister on YouTube, you've seen my hair.
While many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol women's hair growth supplement for 6 months. I mean, 86% is a lot of women.
Take their hair wellness quiz on Nutrafol.com for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code OKSIS.
Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code OKSIS. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code OKSIS.
Sisters, my goal these days is to always look put together when I leave the house. Nothing over the top or super dressed up or anything like that. I just want to look put together and feel good about what I'm wearing in an effortless yet refined way. When I look at my closet every single morning and think about what I can wear that is chic and intentional, I usually end up grabbing one of my Jenny Kane sweaters, and I always end up loving the way I look and the way I feel in them.
You all know, sisters, that when I envision my highest self, I am wearing Jenni Kayne. Their sweaters are the quintessential must-have item. I cannot stop wearing my Marina set. I throw it on and immediately feel like I'm in a Nancy Meyers movie, like I could just walk on the beach in Santa Barbara. It is the coastal grandma aesthetic.
My favorite Jenni Kayne sweater right now is their everyday sweater in taupe. This is the definition of a staple that every woman must have in their wardrobe. Sisters, trust me on this one. I wear it with leggings, oversized jeans, and a little kitten heel or a silk maxi skirt. Legit, Mads and I are so obsessed with wearing our Jenni Kayne sweaters that we've literally shown up both wearing the same sweater once. The white alpaca cocoon crew neck, which is this deliciously oversized sweater.
Yeah, that moment takes the cake. Both of us walking in with our matching Jenni Kayne sweaters.
We're obsessed. Can't take them off. Wearing them every day. The type of staples that save your outfit.
That is what I love about their entire collection. It is truly the art of simplicity. They focus on comfort, quality, and timeless design, so you can curate wardrobe that never goes out of style.
Find your new uniform at JenniKayne.com. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use code OKSIS at checkout. That's 15% off your first order, JenniKayne.com, promo code OKSIS. OKAYSIS.
Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about.
Okay, before we talk about the pivot to the pandemic, was there any point, because a lot of people struggle in their early career to really go after something and not have all these self-limiting beliefs. The way you tell your story, you're like, I saw it, I knew it, I want it, I went for it.
I feel like it's very rare.
Was there any point where you had to emotionally struggle through limiting beliefs or feeling all this stuff? And talk to us a little bit about that.
I mean, being a Black woman trying to be in this little like white man boys club is really tough. I think I was passed over for a lot of jobs. A lot of people didn't take me seriously. People didn't want to pay me, except I think the starving artist thing is like an important part of anybody's story. And also like building a portfolio is very important. And you're not going to get paid some of those first jobs. But I think it was a little harder to get people to take me seriously. But also through that, you find like those places where you're like appreciated and valued, and people were like, hey, we want to pay you for your work, or we want to bring you onto this project, or like, I don't know. And a lot of people who really did like ride for me in those early years and like post my work and tag me and all of that stuff, like it shows who was kind of supportive and who wasn't. And I think when you first start out, you're just like so excited to do stuff, but like as you work a little more, you're like, okay, and I don't need to be spending my time with the people who like aren't appreciating it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's talk about the pivot. Because now, I mean, it's like, yes, you were in the music industry, you were touring, but the portfolio now is, I mean, how did this all come?
I think, so during the pandemic, I was still living in Portland, but my lease had ended and I was kind of like getting job offers in LA and stuff. And I was like, all my friends are in LA. I work there all the time anyway. So I just like made the move in 2020, but I'd already been working in LA for like a good, like 6 or 7 years. Mm-hmm. I had a pretty big network here. So it wasn't like a huge change for me, but.
Was this pre-March, like pre-lockdown?
No, this was like August, 2020.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. And I kind of was just like, well, like something needs to change. Cause I wasn't working in Portland. I wasn't doing anything. So when I moved down here, again, like people were really supportive of me, and like any contacts I had who were like able to do stuff or produce stuff or do anything where they needed photos were really like hitting me up and having me do all these random jobs. And I was saying yes to a bunch of things that I probably wouldn't have normally said yes to, but I feel like it just expanded my portfolio so much. I was doing a lot more like portrait work. I was doing a lot more celebrity, like personal photography, like stuff at people's homes. I was doing a lot more like influencers who needed help shooting brand content, just like kind of random things that were just like to keep me busy. But now that's like a majority of what I do. I do mostly celebrity personal photography. I do, you know, fashion weeks where I travel with clients and stuff. I do a lot of events now, but for like other brands, like any random LA influencer event, I'm either there as a guest or I'm shooting it. So I just feel like it was the right move for me. And it, you know, my career is totally different now, but like in a way that I like. So, yeah, I'm happy with it.
That's amazing that you were just saying, like, you're either at the event or you're taking photos at the event. And it's like, you're not staffing the event. You're like supposed to be there. You know what I mean?
How many
like,
people invite you to events hoping you will take a photo?
You'll also take photos. Oh,
that's not happening. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Like, pay me.
Yeah, you're not paying me. I'm not bringing my camera.
I can't imagine how many people invite you.
Absolutely
and
not.
They're just like, maybe she'll bring her film photo.
Well, it's so funny too because, also growing a social media following from shooting with celebrities and all of this stuff. I do like some of the influencer stuff. I do obviously mostly photography. I try to keep my Instagram pretty professional. But yeah, like I would say like 30% of my job now is also just like influencer stuff.
Right.
So
talk to us about the correlation with that and how that works. Because if you go on your Instagram, it's mostly your work. So where does the influencing side fit into this?
I'm just one of those people who has always had like one Instagram. I never want to be one of those photographers who's like, follow my photography account and my personal account. I'm like, sorry, if you're following me, you're getting both. Yeah. I'm lazy and we're gonna be posting everything on the same account. And I think that's always been a thing. Like, I grew up on Tumblr. So a lot of my first followers, like the reason I had like an Instagram following in the first place was people from Tumblr who kind of migrated over to follow me. And as I started posting more of my photography, I was also still posting myself. I was posting like my life when I was in college and after college and my friends and places I travel to and what I'm eating and like mixing that in with just like also the work I'm doing. And I think, I don't know, I was talking to someone about this the other day, but I think that it's so much more fun to follow somebody who has a job and like has a life. Like,
totally.
I don't like following people who are just a content creator.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, at the end of the day, like, what, you just like are waking up and like posting on Instagram?
It's not
and,
as
like,
relatable.
Yeah, like, what are you really doing? I love following people with like cool, interesting jobs.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's kind of part of the vibe. I'm just like, you get to see the stuff I'm doing, the stuff I'm shooting, the events I'm going to, what me and my friends are up to. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I like having a more dynamic, like personal Instagram and people can see the person behind the camera.
Yeah. So. Do you ever find though that it's hard to upkeep both? At least like
sometimes.
At least in my eyes, like I have a full business where I post content for like Los Angeles recommendations and restaurants. So then like I want to be posting so much more of like the behind the scenes and me, but I'm just like, oh my God, I'm already fucking posting so much content that like to add on more is a lot, especially as a if you have a full-time job.
And I think that's the other thing too. That's why I wanted to keep it all on one account.
Yeah,
because
so
I
was like, it's not.
I can't be separating myself from my business like
totally
constantly because I'm like, at the end of the day, they are so intertwined.
Yeah. That makes sense.
It is a little hard to keep up with, and sometimes I feel very annoying. Like sometimes I'm like, guys, really I'm cool. So sorry I posted like 11,000 stories today, but like,
oh my God,
we're not done.
We want the stories.
But it's
so
cool
stories.
Because you are technically being, I think there's something very interesting about the person behind the camera that a lot of people haven't necessarily explored when it comes to photographers, because technically the photographer's job is supposed to highlight the things in front of her or him. And it's exciting. Like, people are always like, oh, I want to see the founder behind the business. But I think there's something even more mysterious and alluring about the photographer behind the business.
Well, and a lot of photographers, like, don't capitalize, I guess, on social media. I know so many photographers with, like, huge audiences and, like, will, like, meet up for coffee. And I get there and I'm like, I actually literally don't know who I'm looking for.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I don't know what you look like. You've never posted anything personal about your life. Like, that. I don't know. I like to like know the people that I follow.
In this day and age, you have to.
You have to.
That's just like what people expect. But it's also like, it's really fulfilling to share that type of side of yourself. You
and
know?
It's also like, honestly, business wise, it's been so good for 100%. Me branding. Like
100%.
I do so many brand partnerships, like, and people know what I look like and I'll do video stuff. I'll do on camera stuff. And they're like, oh, like that's Black Prince or, you know.
Totally.
And I think it's so much better to like have a face for your brand. Yeah.
We talk about this a lot because Camber, you know, I am the face of it. And so
I was literally like, oh my God, I've seen you on TikTok.
You've seen this face. And it has literally been the thing that has made Camber successful.
It just makes it so much more personable and like
it's
relatable.
It's very personable. Yeah. And it's tricky because, you know, especially from a business perspective, it's hard. It's different with you because you are your art, but like it's harder for me to scale now or like introduce other voices into the company. And that's a whole other issue on its own. But it is so important, I think, to have a face because people, I mean, since TikTok came out, it's like, you need to just know, people know me immediately. Yeah. And they understand me and they're like, they see my face. I don't even know what the content is. They're like, oh wait, yeah, I know that girl. I trust her. Done. Yeah. You know? And it's just this like immediate connection.
This is something that we have at literally every episode. I feel like we come back to this.
I know. Yeah. Wait, this idea, to put your face on or yeah. not.
It's because like, I'm starting a business now. I have my other business, which I show my face, etc. But I'm starting a business that's an editorial site, a higher end, more luxurious editorial site.
And which Nezra needs to shoot for.
I need to feature you.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
I'm like dying to talk to you more. But the point being is that if I put my face on it, it's a blog. And I don't want it to be a blog.
But that's a different type of brand, though. Yeah. I would say, I'm like, I don't think you need to put your face on that. I think, like, you're fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah. You just cured lots of anxiety for me.
I went to school for sociology, but I have a minor in advertising. And that was another thing that like helped me when I started photography. I was like, okay, like, approaching this from a business perspective, like, I don't ever want to make it, like, too stale, too serious, too, like, you know, I guess what like regular commercial photographers do. Yeah. I was like, I always want me to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Makes complete sense. That's a great segue. Talk to us about your creative process because photographers are always
I don't really know if I have one.
But like, they're so interesting to me because you're commissioned to shoot something. And as you said, you want to bring you and people are hiring you for you, but you're shooting someone else's brand. And it's such an interesting collaboration. Do you have any opinions around that? Do you look for something when you're shooting?
Make sure that like the lighting is a certain way because that's your aesthetic.
I was gonna say there are definitely some things I'm very specific about. I'm very type A, so I do everything myself from email correspondence, hopping on calls, shooting everything. I edit everything myself. I deliver everything myself. I don't hire help because if you want it done right, you have to do it yourself. Oh, wow. That type of thing. And I think something where I'm always very particular about, which I hate when people ask me this, they're like, can you send the raw files? Or like, you can just give us the photos unedited. Like, you don't have to edit them if there's no time. Like, da da da. And I'm like, that's no. So no. That's not what we're doing. Yeah. Is half of my photography style is the editing.
Yeah. Totally.
And I'm like, I'm doing that myself. I don't care how long it takes. You'll get the photos. Honestly, my turnaround rate is usually like 24 hours.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, so I think you can wait for me to edit them.
You can wait.
But yeah, that's something. I was talking to a client about this the other day because they wanted live editing during the event. And I was like, okay, well, that's not how this works because I'm taking the pictures and I'm editing them. So
how does that work?
Yeah.
So when you're doing these events, it's only you don't hire someone else?
No. I do everything myself. But it's also one of those things where I'm like, I've done this for so long. Yeah. And I think my training as a tour photographer, like I shoot the show, I immediately edit because, you know, the next day we're in a different city and the photos are irrelevant.
Yeah.
So we need to get everything up right away. And so I'm very used to that. And I think a lot of photographers don't work that way.
Yeah.
They're happy to like hire an editor, hire a retoucher, do a lot of like outsourcing or like, I don't know. And I'm very like hands-on with stuff. So
do you ever do weddings?
No, I don't do weddings.
Maddie's getting married.
No, and I've had a lot of people asking me that recently, and I'm like, I can refer some people to you, though.
Okay,
I
love, wait, that love to opens up the friends. Door to talk about client management.
Yeah.
You're like, that's where I got
obviously, what I admire so much about you and what I'm hearing from you when you speak about your experience in growing your business is that you have really strong boundaries. Like, you know what you're...
I try.
No, you
they're
do.
They're not as strong as they should be sometimes.
No, you do. Because I have clients in my business, and the amount of times someone's like, oh, but can you do it this way? And I'm like, sure. And it's not the right way. How did you cultivate that? Because you're working with pretty big people and brands, especially in the beginning. How do you, like, stay to your center?
I think the other thing is, though, what I have realized, especially after scaling my business to what it is now, the clients with the big budgets and who are like huge household names, they will let you do whatever you want. They said, and we trust you and here's money and just go do your thing. And I really appreciate that because it's the clients who are like, oh, well, we can't really afford that. Can we like, you know, compromise on a budget? Da, da, da. They're asking for so many things. They're micromanaging and it's, I don't know.
Say it louder for the people in the motherfucking back.
It's always the people with the smallest budgets.
Oh, can you make an exception?
And I understand because maybe they're really like wanting to make their money go the furthest and like make it work. But I also, those are the people I'm usually having difficulty with. And
energy draining.
With that, I'm like, listen.
And the product doesn't work.
No.
The end product does not work if someone hires you for your genius.
Or exactly what they hired me for, and then they're asking for more and more and more. And I'm like, and that's not what the deal was. And so you have the Dropbox full of images, and best of luck to you.
Yes, totally.
Yeah, I don't know. I try and draw those boundaries with every client, but also just like knowing how to read contracts and knowing like exactly like how to tell people exactly what to expect and all of those things. Yeah. Like I normally have clients pick the location, and if they have like mood board or inspo, I have them send that to me, and then I tell them what we would need so they can get lighting and whatever. And okay. Yeah, I don't know. I really try and like set the expectations before we shoot. And I'm like, obviously you hired me for my style, yeah, and that's what you're going to get. And if you need something else, you can hire a different photographer.
You can move along. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about your favorite shoots.
Yes.
And like events that you've
like, what
covered.
Was the
okay.
moment where you were like, holy shit, I'm here. Oh,
well, I actually talked about this the other day for a thing with Linktree, but oh. Megan Thee Stallion.
Oh my God.
I love her so much. And when I had the opportunity to shoot her, that was just like.
What was it for?
It was for this documentary. I don't know if it ever came out. I was just doing some like behind the scenes, like still stuff, but it was when her album Good News released.
Yeah.
And she liked the photos. She posted them on Instagram.
Oh, wow. And she tagged you?
Yeah. And I was just like, that was the best day ever. And she was so nice. Aww. And I don't know, like meeting people that you really love and them also being awesome is the best.
Yeah.
So that was definitely like a favorite shoot that I always think of.
Yeah.
Ever since having a baby, I've been extremely conscious about what I spend my money on and which products I use. And clothing is no different. I want my wardrobe to be sustainable, good quality, and timeless.
You have to be talking about Whimsy and Row, right? Whimsy and Row is an LA-grown, eco-conscious brand born out of the love for cute, comfy, and classic styles. Every piece is made by women for women. Quality goods, local production, natural and organic fabrics. Yes, please give me all the linens.
Just like OK Sister, Whimsy and Row is based on the idea that women are multidimensional. There's a balance of flirty feminine and minimal masculine in all of our wardrobes, and Whimsy and Row means exactly that. From special occasions to everyday effortless styles, their clothing is meant to mix and match and wear on repeat. I have been wearing their Kira pant in black linen probably 3 times a week. Sisters, if you've been listening to this podcast or following me on Instagram, you know that Whimsy and Row's Kira pant in black linen is a sisterhood staple at this point.
Founder Rachel Temko created the brand back in 2014 because she wanted to create an approachable and inclusive brand that cared for the people and the planet first. Get the full Whimsy experience IRL at their Venice location or shop online at whimsyandrow.com. Their store in Venice is so cute, I can attest. And if you're in LA, I highly recommend stopping by. They are always putting on these amazing community events.
They just launched their spring summer collection, and we will be living in it all summer long.
Visit their website, whimsyandrow.com. That's WHIMSYANDROW.com and use code OKSISTER for 15% off.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Libsyn Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Libsyn Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com.
I don't know. I like them all, though. Honestly, like anyone I work with, I usually have a really good relationship with them. And so
it feels like you've done a lot with Ami Song. Do you travel with her?
Not specifically, but she's always at fashion weeks and stuff. Yeah. And we're friends now. I've shot her for years. Like anytime she needs something, she just texts me and we set something up. But she's great. I love her so much.
And then Jake Shane, you did his podcast.
Love Jake Shane. Obsessed with Jake.
So how did that work? Did he slide into your DM?
No.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
I know. She doesn't know. Pass the puss.
Can you tell me who Jake Shane is?
So Jake Shane is a TikToker. Yeah, he's a TikToker. Scout is living under a rock.
I'm not on TikTok.
He's That's a TikToker. Crazy. You would actually really love him. He's a Jew from New York and so silly and
just like the most fun.
You know what? I should give you my phone and you should follow everyone that I need.
So then you can see it.
Because it's too overwhelming. I don't even know where to start at this point.
Jake would be the third sister. Like he
you
would
should
be
have Jake on the pod.
Is he our first male guest?
Yeah, we've never had a male.
He's a sister.
No, he's a sister.
He's a sister. Okay. We'll bring him on.
He needs to be on the pod. And he just started his own pod, so we'll do a little swap.
Okay.
Anyways, so you shot his podcast art.
Yeah, I shot his podcast art. We did some press photos that day, but I have been following him forever. Like when he had like 2,000 TikTok followers.
Oh, wow.
He had come up on my For You page and he used to like scare his friends. So he'd be like, help me, help. He'd be like screaming. And I was just like, this is comedy. Like, yeah, we need to bring this type of humor back. Yeah. So I followed him and then I met him at, it was like an Erewhon opening.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh my God.
Was it the Pasadena Erewhon
opening?
No,
it was the Culver City.
Why does it always come back to an Erewhon influencer?
No, guys, literally.
Guys, I went to the Erewhon Pasadena.
This is not the first time we've talked about an Erewhon influencer event.
No, Erewhon. Big things are happening at Erewhon.
Erewhon is a whole other level. No, I went to the Pasadena opening and I was like, we are in a grocery store.
No, I was like upset that I was out of town for that because those are like, that's my dream event.
Like it's
so good.
There was a photo booth and the background was the produce.
Yeah, they did that at Culver City too.
I was like, no, and we're shooting in front of produce.
I literally was shooting that event and I had to stop and be like, Jake, I'm your biggest fan. Please let me take your picture.
Oh my God.
And he was like, oh my God. Like, and he gave me his number and we were able to connect later. I saw him at a party at somebody's house and he was like, oh my God, like I'm starting a podcast and I'm going to hit you up for the photos.
Oh my God.
And so we were able to do it. And it made me so happy. And he really liked the photos. And
it was such a different side to him too. Yeah. Like it was perfect.
He had a stylist and everything. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I felt like we did it right for like his first like big photo shoot. It was really exciting.
I have to go look this guy up.
Oh, you'll love him.
Do you feel like your business was a series, because some people talk about, I think especially in today's age with the internet, people like blow up and then that's their business.
Yeah.
Do you feel like your business has been steady building, one brick, one brick, one brick, one brick? Or do you feel like there was a tipping point where all of a sudden you felt like Pandora's boxed open in the best way possible for you?
It's interesting because I think I had like a blow up moment, mm-hmm. but it wasn't big. It was like 2016, I want to say.
Oh, wow.
Instagram had reached out to me and I was featured on, like, Instagram used to have a blog. And so I was featured on their blog. They had me as a suggested user. It was like this big thing where I gained like 80,000 followers in like a week. Whoa. And like,
that's a lot.
I feel like a lot of artists reached out to me after seeing that because I was featured like as a music photographer on Instagram. Mm. And I think for my music photography career, that point was so pivotal because they realized like I knew all these other artists and I had all these connections and then more people wanted to work with me. And I think that was great, but I also don't think that was like, now looking back on the grand scheme of things, I don't think that was a blow up moment. I think that was like one of the bricks in it's definitely a slow burn. I also feel like for photographers, just because like you're constantly working on stuff, everything is just coming in like as it comes. Like, I don't know. I don't feel like I've ever done anything that was like so insane that like really like
that's the best way businesses are built, you know.
Is this
where does your confidence come from?
I don't know, honestly.
Innate confidence.
Yeah, like, seriously, just kind of built in. I'm an Aries, so that's probably
I don't know anything about Aries, damn.
Like confident. Kind like, of annoying.
Oh wait, it's your birthday
next week.
Aries season.
I know it is Aries season. But I don't know. I also just feel like very like secure in like myself and my life and like who I am and stuff. And so,
Oh, I love that. Do you have any practices that you do to get there? Or is that just something that you feel, or like, was there a path to get there, or you've always felt this way?
I don't know. I think once I realized that like people took me seriously and like I could ask for what I wanted and people would just like say yes, I was like, okay, maybe literally, I really am that
Maddie
bitch.
Has that.
business, honestly, business will do that to you.
It will.
It will break you down wholeheartedly. But then like the moment there was like a moment also with Camber where it switched for me, where I was like, oh shit, I can just ask.
When you have
anything.
A couple of those like validating experiences, like one too many and I'm I really am on one.
No, seriously. But it gives you that sense of, I know what I'm worth. I deserve this. Yeah. Like there's this crazy level of confidence.
I wouldn't say intoxicating, but a little bit. That's why I remember when I would tell you, I would say there's nothing like the feeling of making a sale for your own work.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
It is so validating in a way that receiving money for something general can't even compete with. Like when you directly say, this is how much my services cost, they say yes, it is a level of assurance. It's a level of confidence. And you just feel like you can take care of yourself in this lifetime. Yeah. It's so
also
validating.
Like people trusting me creatively to like come up with stuff and creative direct stuff and just like handing me something and be like, shoot this. And then they end up loving it. I'm like, okay, like I can do this. I don't know why I would self-doubt. And obviously I've had like weird, like bad work experiences. But I'm like, also even those, I'm like, and that just wasn't like a client that was right for me. That wasn't a good fit. It wasn't what I was supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Do you like shooting events or people more?
Definitely people. Events are like not really my jam, if I'm honest.
I feel like it's
me
chaotic.
About to shoot like six this weekend.
I know. I was like, we're going to Coachella, bitch.
Yeah. Like, no, but it sounds more fun because I feel like the outfits and the this and the that. Like,
and there are things about it too where I also feel like brands that hire me now understand my event style, where it's a lot more like kind of artsy, like portraits of people and like kind of cool photos that make the event look glamorous and stuff. It's not like you're, you know, Getty Images event photography.
Totally.
But I do prefer doing like really pretty, like natural light portraits and like stuff where the client is like styled and has glam and like we're in a cool location. And like, obviously that is more my style. I feel like my photos that I like taking are like natural light, like very dreamy looking, really vibrant colors, interesting like outfits and hair and makeup. But you know, events are happening every single day.
Yeah,
and so we're out here, we're booked and busy.
I love it. How do you make the subject feel comfortable? Because I've always, you're like, I just am. I
bring so this aura. It's so interesting because people tell me all the time, they're like, oh my God, like that was so easy. Like you're so great to work with. Like I feel so comfortable in front of the camera. And I don't really think I'm doing anything crazy.
I think it's probably just your personality because we've been in photo shoots where we're like, oh,
well, and some
God.
Photographers are really socially awkward. Yes, and I try not to be like that.
You can't be. Like,
especially
it's a part
with
of the
women,
job.
Especially when they're changing.
Yes.
Maybe they're wearing something revealing. Like,
or something they're not 100% comfortable in.
Yeah.
That's another thing I always tell people. I'm like, if you don't like the outfit, we're not shooting it.
Totally.
Because if you don't like it,
it doesn't work.
It doesn't look good.
The photos aren't going to be good and we're just wasting our time. So I always tell people to bring stuff that they're comfortable in. I also always tell people, I'm like, bring a friend, bring someone on set who can like make you laugh and like make you feel comfy. I don't know. I also, most of the people I shoot, I have personal relationships with, unless it's like a one-off thing for like a magazine or for a brand or something. So it's usually people that like I know, at least in a way where we can have like a conversation and like little rapport and like, I don't know.
Do you choose the music or do they?
Usually I let them choose the music.
Yeah,
I don't know.
What's your playlist if you were taking... So one of my favorite self-care things is that I get a photo shoot like twice a year just
for fun.
Wait,
that's so good.
Yeah. Just for me.
Scal is a good... She loves it.
Many high fashion photo shoots for no fucking reason.
You should. Like, that's just like fun. Like,
it's so fun and it's so validating and it's such a creative process and you really find your confidence, right?
Yeah.
So anyways, my playlist is always the Rolling Stones when I'm shooting. What would yours be? Literally what I'm shooting for nothing.
I feel like it has to be, this is going to be basic, but like it has to be like Taylor Swift or Haim or something. Okay. Something where it's just like, I can like shake.
Yeah.
You know, I just like feel.
Yeah. And also it's nice too when like the playlist fits a vibe. So each song goes into the other and it's kind of, we're on the same vibe all day.
Yes. Strangely, also Drake. I don't know.
Oh, always Drake.
Well, Drake,
always
I don't know Drake. What it Drake is about sexy. Drake. Because
he makes you feel sexy.
I don't like working to music. I will work to Drake. Like, Drake is like the only music.
You like answer emails to Drake?
No, literally. When I had my first office and I had like 4 interns and an employee, I would say, and just Drake. Literally, I don't know what it was about
that
Drake.
That is so funny.
He really put me in the zone.
I would think it was like Lil Jon for you.
No, Lil Jon makes me want to get hyped up and like dance and on the
table. Lil Jon's a different vibe.
Something about Drake that's like, focus.
So
one thing
about Scout is like she only listens to early 2000s bat mitzvah music.
Okay.
And so it's like
into that.
It's like
very specific niche.
Yes. It's like Usher, Ludacris,
obsessed.
Literally the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you're gonna have so much fun at Revolve.
I'm not going to Revolve.
Oh, you're not. Ludacris is performing. Yeah.
Is that known?
They put out the thing.
Is gonna be later. There's, so it doesn't matter.
So I'm in a conflict around this as well. I went to Coachella. I've been going to Coachella since I was 14. I went to Coachella 14 for the first time.
Yeah.
When you could get day passes, when it was like Radiohead and Regina Spektor and Jack
so
Mannigan.
Different.
That was like the
it
best
was
years.
The best. Yeah. And then I went back again a little bit older and it started to be what it is today. Mm-hmm. And I had a great fucking time. Then I went back with my sister when I was 26, potentially, and I had an anxiety attack day one.
No.
She made me stay because Beyonce was performing day two. No,
literally, I was like, you're going to regret this.
And it's so too bad that we're not leaving.
And I was like, fine, I will stay for Beyonce. And I legitimately gunned it out of Palm Springs Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So I have this internal conflict, which is Coachella stresses the fuck out of me. I get so overstimulated.
You're not alone. There's
too many people.
It's way too many now. But then I sit here
and at Maddie, we're driving up. She's telling me all the fucking cool parties. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm out of the loop. No one's inviting me. Because like, oh, I don't want to be invited. But I don't want to go, but I want to be invited.
You want to be invited, but you don't want to go. No, 100%.
I want the option to like walk in for 10 minutes and leave.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
But that's not Coachella. No. You're stuck there.
I think it's also so interesting. Yeah, like my first Coachella I ever went to, I just went with my sister. Our mom had bought us wristbands for like our birthdays or something.
Yeah.
And it was so fun. And we went and met up with a bunch of friends. And I was like GA and loved it. Had the time of my life. Now, after like working multiple Coachellas, like with artists or like going with brands and like doing all this stuff. And then there have been a couple years where like I'm just going as an influencer, but I'm in a house sponsored by a brand. And I'm like with all my other influencer friends. We have to go to all these parties. I'm like, oh, it's all too much. It's all too much.
When you were telling me the amount of shit going on,
it's a lot of parties.
Oh,
it's
we're
a lot
back
of like
back to back, baby.
Back to back to
back. Well, now it's not even like, you don't even have to go to Coachella.
No, people don't.
And I mean, this year, I don't have time to go. I'm working for one of the brands that's throwing parties, but I was like,
how is there room for all that? I was just geographically, I'm like, how, where, what?
I think hotel prices are through the roof. Oh. Well, all the Airbnbs are taken.
That was probably part of our problem, was that you can't afford, you know, when I was 26, we stayed in a place that I was like pretty sure a prostitute was in the night before.
No, like there were roaches.
I think there was heroin needles on the floor. Like
it was $400 a night.
I was having an anxiety attack in that shit motel.
Yeah. I really thought we were like, I was like, guys, we're going to rough it.
Yeah. No, it's like scary vibes.
And then they took my vape away at the front. That's when I used to vape.
Yeah, of course they would.
So then I just had to bum cigarettes all day. It was just terrible.
And you know what? Maybe you don't need to go to Coachella
anymore. I was
going to
say, Scout, just,
maybe it's over.
Just not you for really, you.
Maybe
you,
it's over.
For some reason, when you tell me, I believe you, and I feel like I can close
I've been
it.
To like, I think this year would have been my 8th Coachella.
Wow.
And I don't think I'm going into the festival, but obviously I'm still in Palm Springs. But I was just like, and you know what? We had a good run.
Yeah.
Because like,
we're closing the show.
Yeah, unless there's a lineup that I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to lose my mind if I don't see that.
No one.
I don't see a world where I'm going again unless it's like a brand thing.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. No.
Makes
or
sense.
For free, honestly.
Yeah.
Like.
Exactly.
Anyways.
Wait, I have a question.
Yes.
Anyone's listening, they want to break into the scene as a photographer.
What
she's like, don't do it.
No, what are some tips?
I mean, my tip that I always say when people are like, what's your advice? Is keep shooting. Because I always tell people, I'm like, finding your photography style, finding your editing style, and like kind of just like what you like shooting and what you're good at is like the key. Mm-hmm. I think when I was going into photography, I was really like, I want to be a music photographer and I want to go on tour with artists and blah, blah, blah. And that was great because I did love it and I was good at it and that's great. But I put myself in a box for a very long time where that's like all I was doing. Mm-hmm. And once I left that box, I'm like, oh, there's so much more money out here. There's so many other jobs I could be doing. It just became a little bit more interesting for me. And it was like a better fit for my life, like as I grew up. So yeah, I don't know. I think just like experimenting with that and not leaving yourself in a box and like networking, I hate to say it. It's like,
oh, it's everything. No, relationships, everything. Yeah. But I like what you even said, where it's like, in the beginning, you might have to do shit for free.
Oh,
or like,
and you do. And it's, and it's annoying.
And be okay with it.
People, like, I don't want to say like me, but people will be like, don't do stuff for free. Like, don't accept that. Like, da da da. And it's hard because if you don't have a portfolio and you don't have something like really strong, like a client base to back that up, you're going to be doing some stuff for free.
Yeah. But I also think that in many ways, that sentiment ranges across industries and jobs. Like
totally.
In the beginning, you just have to do
it's like
the
an
thing.
Unpaid internship.
Yeah. Like it's just part of
it might go on for a couple years.
Yeah. But like if you don't do it, you're at an even bigger disadvantage because then you really can't do the thing where you can ask to make money. Creatives have difficulty running businesses.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for people to mesh the right and the left brain. Do you have any thoughts on that for yourself or any tips for people who are so stuck in the creative world that they don't know how to brand themselves, run the business properly, do the contracts? Because those are two very different skill sets that people need both today. And it's hard for some 100%.
People. 100%. I definitely know so many photographers, especially like people I see and work with all the time, who are, I think, are so talented. Mm-hmm. And I know that like they're kind of selling themselves short. Either they're like not really posting a lot of their stuff, so it's mm-hmm. kind of not getting out there. And like, I don't know. I think time is of the essence, especially when you're a photographer. Like if you're shooting a celebrity client and they post the photos and you post the same photos 6 months later,
nah.
It's just no longer like relevant. Like people have already seen that. And like, you want to keep like getting your stuff out there and making people think of your work and sharing it and sending it around and stuff. And so I think like, if you can't manage doing socials and doing emails and like client outreach and pitching yourself and all of that stuff, you should probably get a manager. Which
That's great advice.
Yeah. Which I think I don't recommend to everybody. Like, I don't have a manager. But if you can't do it yourself, I think that's a good place to start. Mm-hmm. Also, though, just like, I don't know, being on top of it professionally, I feel like for me, is just something that I like build into my schedule. Like every morning, wake up, do some emails, go to the gym, come back, do more like admin work, stuff on my computer. I'm posting, I'm doing whatever, going on shoots certain days of the week. Like, I don't know. I just kind of build it into my schedule. I'm like, I just don't allow that to be something that I neglect. But also, again, I'm very type A. I'm very like, my brain is like, you have to do everything.
Yeah. So two follow-up questions to that. One, how many photo shoots do you have a month on average?
Really depends. That's the other thing about being a freelancer. I'm like, some months I'm making like absurd amounts of money, and other months it's $0 because I'm waiting on those net 30s. Yeah. So
fuck a net 30. Yeah. I take payment up front. I don't fuck with 36.
On big things, I'll do deposits and stuff. But it's, you know, as a freelancer, as a photographer, it really depends. It and a lot of clients just, that's not how they pay.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's just,
I push back on that. That's my boundary.
Sometimes they're so much busier than others, like especially during fashion weeks and stuff when I'm traveling all the time. I'll do like 6 shoots in a day because I'll be bopping from someone's hotel to someone's hotel to a runway show to someone's hotel. And other times I'm just in LA like twiddling my thumbs going to influencer events. So I think
what's like a middle ground? A middle ground
is like 2-3 shoots a week.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I'll have something like Monday, I'll have something Wednesday, I'll have something over the weekend usually.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. And then what are things that your parents taught you that you feel they did really right? Because I'm looking at you and I'm like I'm wildly impressed. I'm wildly proud of you.
Oh my God, thank
and I
you.
Feel like you were Guys. Born. But seriously, we talk to a lot of people and, you know, I'm sitting here. I'm like, this is not my energy that I had to go through to be successful. And I feel like part of it, yes, is like you were born with a certain, you know, type A personality. But I'm also trying to identify specifically because I'm a new mom. What did your parents do right, do you think, to instill this level of confidence in you?
That's like such a good question. I don't know. I mean, my mom is like really good with money and was always like, save your money. Don't spend like frivolously. Don't spend beyond your means, all of that stuff. So I feel like I've always kind of been like that. I don't know. My dad like knows a bunch of famous people and would like, I don't know. He worked at Tiffany for a long time and was in sales and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so something he always said to me, which I actually do love this. He would never like force a sale. He's like, I don't care how rich someone is. If they come in and they're just kind of looking, I'm like, oh, just like, let me know if you like anything. And I let them like take their time and look at stuff because if they want to buy it, they'll buy it. And if they don't want to buy it, they won't buy
it.
And you shouldn't like force somebody into that because they're going to come back and return it. Like,
totally.
It's that type of thing. I don't know. I feel like just they raised me to be like very independent and self-sufficient. And so I'm like, and here we are.
Well, do you have siblings?
Yeah, I have a younger sister.
Okay.
Yeah.
Snaps to your parents.
Well, and she just like bought an apartment. She's like a homeowner. I was like, okay.
Damn, sister.
What does your sister do?
She's an actress in Chicago.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on with this family?
We need some.
Can we come over for I know you don't do Shabbat.
No, let's come. Like, can we come over? You guys for Shabbat.
Oh, you guys love for Shabbat. Yeah. Anytime. All right, let's ask our last question that we ask every woman that comes on OK Sister podcast. If you were to brag about one thing in your life and you cannot be humble, what would you brag about?
Oh, I don't know. Probably my friends.
Yeah.
I have really good friends. Amazing. No, and I'm like obsessed with them in a way that's like probably not healthy. But everyone's like so cool.
Where are
cool,
they from?
So
when
nice.
When you moved to LA or?
Most of my LA friends. I have two really good friends still back in Portland who are like my besties. Love them. But yeah, like my LA friends, I love them so much. And I feel really lucky because I feel like a lot of people move to LA and they're like, everybody's so fake and shitty. And I'm like, not from where I'm sitting.
I agree. I know. I'm always out here defending LA and just like the people. Like, yes, of
you
course.
You have to find you your have meet, to find You them. Have to find your people. Like, of course, there are weird, fake, shitty people everywhere.
Of course. This is a huge fucking city. Like, not everyone
goes to Erewhon parties.
Yeah. But you know what? Also, no. Cool people are at those Erewhon parties. Great people.
I agree. No, but I'm the same way. Like, I went to USC and all my friends are from LA. Yeah. And people are like, no one's from LA. I'm like, literally everyone
you're
I
like,
know.
We actually are.
Everyone I know. And everyone is so down to earth, so grounded. And I'm like, it's so interesting that there's this projection of what LA is. Yeah. But I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. That was beautiful.
Aww. Wait, guys, that was so fun.
Yay, so happy.
Wait, can you tell everyone where they can find you and follow you and support you?
Yeah.
Yes. Instagram, Black Prince. Twitter, also Black Prince. I don't really tweet anymore, but I used to be Twitter famous, so you can follow me on there if you want.
Oh, wow.
My portfolio, nezrindanan.com, if you want to, like, see my work and stuff. But, yeah. Amazing.
Beautiful. And all that will be in the show notes. Yeah. And sisters, we love you. You can follow us at OK Sister Pod. Love you.
Bye.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Tracy Dalgleish, clinical psychologist and couples therapist. If there's one thing I know from both my personal and clinical experience, it's that we are really good at comparing ourselves to others. We tend to get stuck in the unhelpful narratives that play on repeat in our minds, and we struggle to set boundaries and create healthy love. Each week, I bring you clinical knowledge and evidence-based research, experiences of sitting in the therapist chair, and being a wife, mother, and business owner to talk about everyday issues we all face to help you change the dialogue in your life. Tune in every Thursday to I'm Not Your Shrink, wherever you listen to podcasts. While I'm not your shrink, I am still human, and I'm excited for us to be in our vulnerability and humanness together.